Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Ephesians 3:18-20 and Ephesians chapter 1:18-20, and let me share this morning. As Moses has said, and we've been using this verse, "Please show me your glory," Moses said. Then the Lord said, "I will make my goodness past before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." And then Paul says, and this is our prayer, my prayer, the Lord's prayer, and the Holy Spirit's prayer, is that understanding will flood your hearts, and that you will understand the hope that was given to you when God chose you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all of God's people. I want you to know about the great and mighty power that God has for us followers. It's the same wonderful power he used when he raised Christ from death and let him sit at the right side, his right side in heaven. Let's pronounce that last little verse this morning. Say it together out loud. Lord, show us your glory. Father, that's our desire, that you would reveal to us even this morning, because your mercies, your goodness is new every morning. And by your Holy Spirit, there is a sense of that stirring within our heart's desire, that where your presence and your peace and your glory and your mercy, Father, is allowed to and be invited to dominate the situation, to overshadow the situations that we have here on earth, then Lord, you can be and release your powerful presence and miracles to us. We agree together. Have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Show us your glory. One of the exciting things about this, no one could look on the face of the Lord. In fact, it was immediate death, because no one could stand in his presence, and they would all turn away. And so Moses says, I want to see you, Lord. And remember, I've told you that the whole Bible is God's attempt to reveal to us who he is. That was the whole purpose. When Adam and Eve lost that understanding of him in the garden by their choice, there was a chasm that was separated between man and God. And that chasm was such an affront to God. He says, we've got to do something. We have to come up with a plan that will enable that reconnection to be made. Because he knows that when we understand who he is and that revelation comes, then no matter what we face on earth, we will see it in the light of his glory and grace. So that's what's happening. The whole of Scripture, from the beginning to the end, was God's revelation of man to man of who he is and what he was like and what his character was. That's why in the Old Testament he defined himself by what he did. Who are you, God? I am Jehovah Jireh. That word Jireh means provider. Who are you, God? I am Jehovah Shalom. I am your peace. So his name, the names when they ask him, or when he revealed himself, he revealed an aspect of his character. I am the God. I am the Good Shepherd, Roi, Jehovah Roi. I am Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there. I am Jehovah Tsidkenu, your righteousness. I am that I am. So this whole understanding of who God was is his attempt for mankind to reestablish that relationship that he had in the Garden of Eden. And with that relationship, then man can pursue the reason why God created him. And that means one of the things was, of course, to understand the relationship with God, but then to possess the earth. Isn't that what he told Adam and Eve? He says, I give you this, occupy it. He told the Israelites, I've given this to you, now occupy it. And what happens now is we understand who he is, then we are able to accomplish the task, which means to possess the land, to reestablish the kingdom of God. That's why I've said, and that's why we're saying today, that the Lord needs us. But the wonderful thing that we recognize is that now we have that the sign, in fact, what it says, that deposit has been placed within us. And that deposit is the Holy Spirit that reveals to us who God is in the midst of the situation. And that's what we've been looking at. God needs us to possess the land for him, to establish the kingdom of God again for him, to allow his presence to be a part of what he's desiring to do on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, so that we can establish your presence in heaven, on earth, right? Turn to somebody and say, "Hey, why don't you listen to this up? He's talking to you this morning." So in this process, we said that God needs us. And I've told you the litany of things that are going on, the transitions and what's happening to our... it's just like a child. How many know you don't have to train a child to be bad, right? How many know that if you let that child be untrained, he will get worse and worse and worse? It's sort of like the law of gravity, right? Right? It gets worse and worse and worse. Mankind, without the structure of God's word and God's presence, naturally will become more and more and more degraded. You look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18, and you will see the cycle of mankind turning away from God. And then in that process, at the end, finally, then it's all. There's no semblance of God in any situation. And the reason why we can't pray, the reason why we can't do some of the things that we want to do, and I've told you the delineation, which we have hold nothing against anyone, but you know, other religions, society makes room for them, right? If the Muslims want to pray, they get to go pray. They stop the business, go to their prayer rooms or whatever it might be. But you, as a Christian, you cannot pray. You understand that? In that, we recognize the reason why. And that, of course, is that there is no God but one God. And that is our God, Jesus Christ. And it sounds awfully small-minded, doesn't it? I mean, after all, with all the things that are going on, Jesus says, I am the true God. And, you know, it seems, again, small-minded or closed-minded. But that's the way it is, isn't it? He is Almighty God. I am that I am. In the understanding of who he is, we recognize that because he is Almighty God and he has chosen us individually, that we have been called to be joint heirs with Christ. So in that understanding of God needing us in the midst of all that's going on, we said that the Lord is preparing and equipping us for the unfolding plan of revival. To revive something, and the church needs to be revived. Would you say yes or no? You know how you know why the church has to be revived? Because when you look at the power of the enemy in the world today and what's going on today, you recognize that the most powerful entity on the face of this earth are looking the wrong way, right? And this is not a put down, this is a wake up call. And how do we possess that land? Is to be, and I'll show you this morning, the reason why, let me go back up to that statement, the reason why we know that there is, in fact, a dumbing down of who we are Because what we can see, what we see today on the face of this earth is just completely, 20 years ago, I mean, some of us older people, 20 years ago, 25 years ago, if we would have thought some of the things that are happening now or are promoted now, I can't even imagine. I pray for my kids, pray for their families, to see what's going on where they have to send their kids to school in this kind of atmosphere. I mean, it's just, people need the Lord. But we do that with a confidence. And we also understand that one of the reasons why we know that God is moving and desiring to move and is stirring up, because we see that we're the entity that's supposed that will stop this forward movement by the enemy. You're acting Presbyterian on me again. Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's a serious subject when we look at all that's going on. But what I said from you, said because God brought the revelation at the end of the book, he says, I know it all from the end to the beginning. And we know that when we see these things happening, God says, be aware, because the time is drawing near. And I'm not talking about the time of the end of the world. I'm talking about the next great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that there is a massive move of Christianity in the Iran and the Muslim area? There is a massive move. They are turning from Islam to Jesus Christ. So I've shared that with you, that the latest, the next move of God is going to be evangelism. The power of God demonstrating that Jesus Christ is God. And then everyone that will be saved, can be saved, will be saved.
Hallelujah.
And then the end time will come. But the wonderful, exciting thing I'm looking forward to is because all these things, and I've outlined it many times, because we see these things happening, and it's never been closer, day by day, week by week, we're seeing details fall into place. We could be that generation. We could be that generation that ushers in the presence of the Lord. And as I said, every generation says that. But they didn't have the backing of the events spoken in Scripture that says, when you see these things, they hypothetically saw them. We see them in reality now. So that's why God says, don't be discouraged, don't be dismayed. For when the enemy comes in like a floodgate, I will raise you up. And the power of the Lord, the joy of the Lord in the midst of the situation is part of our witness, our ministry. So I'm going to talk more about that in just a moment. We said, as I said, I go back to this, we have a calling, we have a ministry, and we have a destiny. We've been looking at the essentials for your ministry, and that essential is the anointing. And we said that the anointing enables us to move beyond our abilities so we can step into the power of the Holy Spirit. And we also said a simple definition of the anointing is the manifest presence and expression of God through you, and that's the love of God through you. That's why we as Christians... We as Christians pray the prayer, Lord, show me how to love that person. And there are many unlovable people out there, aren't there? Right? How many people know some unlovable people? No looking around. Right? I say, if you don't have unlovable people in your life, then you're hanging around with the wrong crowd. What are you good for? Right? That's what happens. We end up having little holy huddles. I encourage people to hang out with people that don't know the Lord. Yeah. That should be part of your sphere of influence. Now, not only them, but part of our sphere of influence is to minister, not only to encourage one another, we as Christians, but if all you know is Christians, something's amiss. Amen or oh me. How many people know some unsaved people in their lives? Right? Good for you. That is your assignment. And you have no choice, but you have accepted it. So when we understand that those people, you're there for them. And we keep trying to get rid of them, don't we? Don't we? Don't we try to do everything we can to stay away from them? How many know that that's not the way it's supposed to be? Jesus didn't do everything he could to stay away from you. Right? He sent someone to be able to make that connection. And if we're allowing the enemy to define what our life is and who we are or what we're supposed to do, he will neutralize you. And he will have you, here he come, here she come, duck around the corner. Or you walk into your house because you don't want to talk to your neighbor. Don't dare look over your fence. Don't do any of that stuff because then it rattles your cage. Huh? It makes it inconvenient. You see, folks, what we've got to do is realize that there's a reason why God has revealed his glory to us. There's a reason for it. And that is so that we can give it away. So that we can give it away. They're here now. So in the process of recognizing the goodness of the Lord, in that process of recognizing that we, pay attention up here, you don't have to worry, the rest of the clan is here. What we need to recognize is that God has given to us that revelation because he chose you and he chose me to be that instrument to reveal his son to this world. So the manifestation of God, you know, why don't we dim that down a little, the lights a little bit so we can see this better. Every Christian has received the Holy Spirit. We are told to call out for the anointing. And we're supposed to pray for that. Seek the anointing. We've looked at the purpose and of the anointing. We also looked at keys to receiving the anointing these past weeks and why it's so important for us. We saw last time the results of the anointing, what is our response. This time, what I want us to look at is how to release the anointing through your ministry. You do not have because you do not use, right? If you don't use it, it's like manna, right? Manna I think Alan knows. In the process, manna was a type of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual food that we receive today. And manna was only allowed to be collected for one day. How many know if you're Jewish, you probably want to try to get, let's stock up on that stuff, right? Let's just stock up on it so we don't have to go out tomorrow and pick it or gather it. And the Lord says, no. How many know if you have enough, if you don't want anything, you're not going to go after it. The Lord says that intimacy of my relation, of our relationship, you can't live with what you gathered up yesterday because you're supposed to eat it all up. And what you don't eat is going to rot. Okay? Only on the Sabbath they could collect more. But that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. If we do not use what God has given to us, what happens? We begin to dissipate. The Spirit of God begins to dissipate. Yes? Perfect example. The church has been called to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. We all agree about that. When you don't do that, what happens? The power of God begins to dissipate. And what has happened in the church, it's dissipated to the place where all we're doing is trying to make it through life and live nice. Right? Just be nice people. Nice. I want to be nice. You're a nice person. What do you think about this? Oh, he's nice. Well, I think that's okay. But nice is not enough, right? I'm going to try it over here. Nice is not enough, amen? How? And the way that we understand that process is if we begin to see people, I'm going to say it this way, it's going to take away the joke, but it's really true. If we begin to see people going to hell that don't know Jesus Christ, then nice is not enough. And all of you raised your hands saying, I know people that are not Christians or that are hard to get along with, whatever it might be. We know that all Christians are easy to get along with, so it must be non-believers, right? No looking around. Someone says, we're the only army that shoot their wounded. So in that process of recognizing that if we don't use it, we lose it. And if that relationship of seeking the Lord each day is not perpetuated, what happens is we begin to dissipate. It's like blowing up the balloon. You stop blowing it up, you can hold it. How many of you know, tied a balloon in a knot and 3 days later it's empty, all the way down. I don't care how hard you tie the knot, it's going to dissipate. So that's why the Lord says, seek me every day. Let there be a continually being filled with the Spirit. And you know, the wonderful thing about it, as I said it jokingly, the reason we need to be continually being filled with the Spirit is that we leak, don't we? There's a hole in the bucket sometimes. I had people come and have a wonderful experience with the Lord. Oh, this is fantastic. You call them up on Wednesday and they go, what happened? Did God leave? I don't feel the same presence as before. Well, there's a reason. How many people have experienced not sensing? I didn't even ask yet. But you're just agreeing for everything. Whatever it is, I'm going for it, right? How many people have experienced the non-presence of the Lord? Anybody? Let me tell you why that happens. I've had people receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've had people where we were in revival and the whole renewal through the whole process, and you just got this incredible high. And then all of a sudden, it's Tuesday or Wednesday, and the next thing, man, what happened? And there's a reason for that. You know why? The reason is that God doesn't want us living on a high. There's a lot of people that all they want is dessert. Right? All I want to do is go to the places where the power of God is, whoa, and it's caught up with. I used to have people come to our church and say, Pastor, this is fantastic. I've been called to the church. I says, no, you haven't. You can stay here as long as you want and get filled up, but go back to your own place. Take whatever you're receiving here. There's people they just want to live on the mountaintop. I just want to be just like Peter, right? Standing in God's presence, say, oh, Lord, this is the way it's been. This is the way. Let's just build three altars up here and just stay up here forever. And the Lord said, nothing. And in other words, he was saying, Peter, get your foot out of your mouth again and let's get on down the road here. There's a reason why you have a revelation of Jesus Christ. Not to sit up there and polish your revelation. Man, this looks great. I'm just going to polish. What happened? All of a sudden, if we lived on a high all of our life, we would be burned out. As I said, I've known people that go from conferences to conferences to conferences, and they don't do anything but get conferenced. God says, the revelation that you have, we're supposed to use it so that we can get more. The reason why we are to be continually being filled with the Spirit of God is God says, I want you to know more about me. I want you to understand that you just have a small portion of the revelation of what I want you to know and what I want you to do and who you are. You see, the enemy knows who you are, right? He knows you by name. He knows you. He's been keeping notes on you since someone slapped you in the rear end at the hospital. And that's the reason I don't like to go to hospitals. First thing they do is slap me. But he knows it all. He knows how you respond. He knows where your traps are. He knows how to set those traps and your weaknesses. But he also knows who you are. And he says, and he knows, and he's read the Bible, and it says he is a, you are a joint heir with Christ. That means you are on equivalent level of Jesus Christ. Sounds pretty haughty, doesn't it? He has called us sons and daughters of God. He knows who we are. But you also know what he knows? He says, I know who you are, but I don't think you know who you are. Because if you knew who you are, I would not be beating up on you. I'd go find something else. Because the enemy does not like to be defeated, but that's what he was created for. The enemy on this earth was created to be defeated. Amen? The enemy in your life has never been there to defeat you. The defeating takes place when you give in to who you are not. That makes sense? We are defeated when we do not step into our rightful place, even though we don't feel like it. How many people felt lousy and God moved? Happens to me all the time. That's the reason that when, during the our renewal time, and for the most part, I wouldn't like to go out. And I love our small church community now. It's different. But in the larger churches, I didn't want to see anybody before service. I'd go into my office and I'd meet with the staff and the other pastors and we would pray and whatever. I don't want to go out there because I know I'm going to get slimed. The enemy wants, same thing with you. But your job is to be out there. My job is not to be out there. My job is to be here. Your job is to be out there. But I recognize, and that's the reason I didn't like the bigger churches. I wanted to have hands-on. But typically, or something will come up to me and say, Pastor, did you know that such and such said something about this and that, whatever? Did you hear that, oh, or somebody just passed away, or they were in a car accident, whatever, and they go, oh, man. And then they go up there, how's everybody today? Are we having fun yet? The enemy has a book on us. He has a book. He has the Bible on us, too. And he wants, and he waits to see if you believe what the Word of God says about you. And most Christians are intimidated and they do never walk in the power of the Lord by defeating the spirit of the enemy that's trying to rob them. The enemy in your life is there for you to defeat them, right? So instead of looking at the situations of all the things that we go through in life being inundated or overwhelmed, we thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to see what, Lord, how can I use this example to show who I am and to show me who I am and show you who I think I am, right? I'm not going to even ask. These guys know what they're doing, so I'm going to look over here so you don't watch them. Sort of a secret thing that we do here. In that process, we begin to recognize, Lord, let me just continue here quickly. As I said, in 2016, the Lord needs you. Because of all that's unfolding, just a refresh, we have the calling, we have a ministry, and we have a destiny. Remember when I said your destiny is linked with your ministry and your calling. You will never arrive in the full potential and everything that you want in your life without understanding that your ministry and your calling is all part of that. You were not made to duck around corners. You were not made to be able to allow the enemy to ruin your day, your hour, or your week, or your year. You were made to be victorious. And the only way that you can be victorious in a battle is to have a battle. And it's so much easier to not have battles, right? You know what's going to happen? You're going to leak. If there's not a continue, if all you're doing is running away from battles or allowing those battles to define who you are, what's going to happen? You're going to have a very, very poor life and a miserable life because you have been created to acknowledge the Lord God Almighty in your life. And if all you're doing is running away and just concentrating on the negative, the poor babies, woe is me, all those kind of things, all the negative and all, how was your week last week? Oh, you can't believe what it was like. Anybody ever said, oh, I'm just happy to get by with, oh, my. We don't say that, do we? We say, hallelujah, man, boy, did I have a chance of KBBT. Right? Come up afterwards and I'll tell you. And instead of saying, my boss was back or the computer thing and all that, and those are frustrating. I'm saying, we know it. There are times and situations where it just fill in the blank. I guess it's okay to say, it just sucks. Can you say that in church? I guess you can. At least I can. We had a youth pastor that did blew out something. He says, can you say that in church, pastor? I said, you just did. But life does time. Right. It does sometimes. It's overwhelming. And for us not to say and just say, wonderful, 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 all this kind of, it's not reality. And the enemy wants to get us out of reality. You hear what I'm saying? He wants us. So if he can't get us walking some stupor, some spiritual, whatever it might be, where you become so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good. And I know people like that. They're just weird. Weird. And I want to say, get a clue, guy. On the other side, he wants to move you from the reality of who you are in Christ. And that's why he's called a thief. So, as we said, that ministry and destiny is all connected. Ministry, what is ministry? Mark 16:15 says, and then he told him, go into all the world and share the good news with everyone. He did not say, stay behind your cubicle door until the storm passes over. It doesn't say that you're supposed to run away from any challenges that might be in your natural path. He says, go. What part of go don't you understand? Ministry. Let me give you a definition of ministry. The process and action of releasing the anointing using gifts, talents, and callings from God to afford others, everybody say others, assist growth, assistance, and aid in all areas, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. The process of the action of releasing the anointing of God that you have been given, that's ministry. And I've told you before, I'm not the minister. You're the minister. I'm the one who provokes the ministers to do good works. That's what you're here for. That's what we're here for. To release the anointing of God. Many people say, I know that I'm supposed to be a witness for Christ on earth. And I know that the anointing of God has been given me for that purpose. I know that my destiny is related to my ministry. I know that, Pastor. I desire to be used by God and to be led by the Holy Spirit. Everybody tracking with this? Anything I've been saying up here that says, nope, don't want to do that? Good. I want to see my ministry for the Lord really help people. And I want to be a doer of the word. But what does that mean? How do I do it? And I say, that's a good question. There's a lot of people, all right, I know I'm supposed to be a minister. I hear all this kind of stuff, all this good stuff that God, but I don't know how to do it. Well, you got to go to school to learn how to do it and go to a seminary. No, you don't. Let me share with you. Let's move from the negative to the positive, okay? Let's get the negative done first. So many Christians fall into traps. They get caught up in their own problems. How can I focus on other people when I have so many challenges of my own? Anybody ever said that? Nothing. They're not living in confidence in that relationship with the Lord. I don't know if I can believe God to help others. I know that God can help others, but I can't believe that God will help others through me. Because I know what I did last week. Anybody mess up last week? Good. Some of them are raising your hands. We're going to have an altar call. How many people just everything right last week? We're going to have an altar call. Just trying to make it through. I'm just trying to hang in there myself. Boy, you hear that a lot in Silicon Valley, don't you? Inward looking and not outward looking. I know that they're hurting, but I have needs too. You see, all this focus is on me, on the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. And God says, it's not about you. It's about me, God says. Not living in victory as God has intended. I need to have my problems resolved before I can minister to other people. Some of the greatest people in history have ministered powerfully for the Lord when they have been doing something that's incorrect. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need your perfection to be able to minister through you. But I say, give him the cleanest vessel that you can bring to him so he can get more out through you. It's like using not the copper pipes, but the galvanized pipes. Eventually, it builds up, the minerals build up, and pretty soon, even though it's a half inch or an inch pipe, the minerals build up in there, and the next thing you know, every time you flush the toilet, the person in the shower screams. So when we give him he put a copper thing in or something like that, and then there's no restriction whatsoever. Result, allowing the circumstances to dictate your effectiveness. The result, and that's the reason I put a devil down there. You can't see him, but he's there. With a smile on his face, saying, neutralized. Three keys to ministry. No, four. Act, feel, say. You've heard me say that over and over again. I've dumbed it down as much as I can. After 35 years of ministry, I've dumbed it down to these two slides that I'm going to show you. First of all, what is ministry? Act, feel, say. What would Jesus act like? What would Jesus feel like inside? And what would Jesus say? If you don't know who Jesus is, read your Bible or come talk to me. And the fourth one is to do the ministry. What would Jesus do? I added a fourth one. Not just what he would act, because it's not what he would just act like or feel like or say. It's what would Jesus do? And there's a lot of Christians that have an understanding of all this information, but they leave out the fourth one, and that's the doing. Right? What is doing? Heal the sick, set the captive free, give sight to the blind, comfort one another, go in my name and love Encourage one another. That's what it's all about. And the other one, the other thing, ministry is to live my life, to live your life where Jesus will be seen. Jesus will be heard, and Jesus will be followed, and Jesus will be glorified. That's what it's all. I want people to see Jesus in you. I want people to glorify Jesus because of you. I want you to come to that place where Jesus will be followed because of you. That's the whole purpose that you're here on earth. Widget making, doing all the other stuff, that's just part of the means through which you do this stuff. Amen or oh me, or I'm going to get insecure again.
Amen.
And we are not just speaking amen, we're doing amen.
Amen.
Amen. Many people, as I said, I want to be used by the Holy Spirit, but what does it mean and how do I do it? Let's look at a few here this morning. How to release the anointing of God and minister to others. How many people want to know anything about this? Good. I'm going to tell you. I love to do how-tos. That way you can't wiggle out of it. All right, Pastor, you say I'm anointed. I don't feel anointed. Well, it's not what you feel. I just told you about that. You are because God says you are. You want to argue with him? What happens when you argue with God? You win. Hate it when that happens. You're anointed. Done. Now, what are you going to do with it? How do I minister to others? And this, until the Lord comes back, this is the reason why you're here. Let me share with you. First of all, recognize your position in Christ. Like I said, your true identity is what God says you are. And he says that you are a son, a daughter, a man, a mighty warrior. All those things like, who, me? Yeah, you. And I can show you, I can tell you scores of Old Testament stories where he picked the weakest person to do the greatest work. Who, me? God says, yes, you. Recognize who you are, your position in Christ. Romans 8:17, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Revelation 5:10, and he made us kings and priests to our God. That's you he's talking about. Ephesians 2:6-10, I like this one. He says that, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places, in realms, in Christ. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you know that all the things that God wants you to accomplish on earth have already been not only set up, but also the provision to be able to accomplish that task has already been released to you? That's what that verse says. Before, that literally, that he had prepared for us in advance. That means, as I said, there's never going to be a time where God has forgotten to give you what is necessary to be, act, feel, say, and do the rest of the stuff I just told you. There will never be a time where you were saying, oh, I just can't do this. Well, you can say it, but God says, I already knew about this, by the way. How many people probably feel they're going to have some challenges next week? Or at least this month? How many of you know it's not going to catch God by surprise? Right? He knows it all. And he says, tell you what, next Tuesday, the engine's going to blow up. No, he doesn't say it like that, but I'm going to say it like that. How many of you know, and I've had people tell me, oh, Pastor, you can't imagine the thing that's happened. Let's pray. You can't imagine what happened. I mean, it all came together. Had somebody that just, craziness. It was a man. It's not a woman, so not choosing sides here. Went into a gas station. He's one of these geeks kind of guys. Now he's going to know who I'm talking about. Goes in the gas station, puts the gas thing in his car. How do you know where I'm going? Starts with his phone. Okay, jumps in the car, drives off, pulls the pump, the nozzle down. You know, I had to sit there going, You know, I'm a pastor. I almost went, you what? You know that they make breakaway nozzles for people like you? Well, my insurance, I don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, after all, it doesn't, and I know what's going to happen. I went back. I know what they're going to try to give me a hard time and say this was their favorite pump. This guy is very intelligent, by the way. And he works for a major, major company. And all this litany of things that what happens if and how about that. And I said, would you please be still? He said, well, I tried to talk to the manager and the manager wasn't there and I couldn't wait. I had to go to work like that. And I don't know what she's going to say. I said, would you please be still? I know she's going to say that this is my favorite pump. I didn't know that they had favorite pumps. But what happened in that? 2 days later, I talked to the manager. She says, no problem. It's going to cost about $216. And he says, my insurance going to cover it all? You know, yeah, all that time wasted. How many of you know sometimes you want to say, I told you so? How many of you know that many times God, if we'll be quiet, he said, I told you before that if you rest and trust in me, then I'll turn things to the good even when you're stuck on stupid. Yeah. Right? Yeah. How many people have been there, done that, bought the cap and the shirt? Everything else. And the hat. All right. Next. Ask for a special anointing for ministry. Your uniqueness in Christ qualifies you to move in the supernatural. You've been given permission to make the impossible possible. Lord, I don't know what the situation is, but I tell you, I do this all the time. I'm asking for a special download, which means anointing, for this particular situation that I'm dealing with right now. I need to have whatever is on your heart so that I can see this thing from the right perspective. And then I begin to pray in the Spirit and ask for sensitivity that while I'm doing it, God can redirect or direct my path. Lord, I need a fresh anointing. How many people are going through challenges right now that are they're ongoing challenges? And those listening online. What the Lord says is when you confront that, and if it consumes all of your life, then we probably need to talk. But if it's part of the situation, well, you know, this it's one of the segmented portions of your time, then God says, I want you to pray because this particular situation is ongoing and I want you to know how to deal with it and how to resolve it. A lot of times God doesn't fix things because people won't allow him to fix it. And you know what? He's a jealous God. And we say, jealous? That's not a good thing to be. Two things he's jealous about. You. He don't want you robbed. Satan, he doesn't want you. After all, I've got a degree. He doesn't want you. And he also, here's the kicker. He wants you to know that he was the one that fixed it for you or provided it for you. He does it, well, you know, just lucky, I guess. I don't believe Christians are lucky. I don't believe that I don't know, just happened. It happened because God wanted it to happen. Or it happened because God wanted to bless you. Every good thing that happens to you comes from God. It doesn't just fall out of whatever, out of the tree. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I appreciate this, Father. Then you get really weird and say, Lord, my engine just blew up. I appreciate, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to see what you're going to do. But it works. It works. It works. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Acknowledge by faith the anointing that you've been given. After asking, this is the cool thing. When people, the Lord says, ask and you shall receive, right? Does he say ask and sometimes you'll receive? Does he say ask and that's it? How many know that he says, well, here's something. If you don't believe you're going to get something, what are you asking for? Well, I've had my grandkids come up and they know, no, there's, nope. Granddad, dad, can I have this? You know I said no. And then I keep working on them and I gave it to them. So, there's just an amazing type of understanding. When we ask, we are to believe that we're going to receive what God asked for, what we've asked for. He says, if anyone needs wisdom in James chapter 1, it says, if anyone needs wisdom, let him ask. And God freely gives the answers. But he says, don't be like the waves that come in and go out. I believe, God, I believe you can, but, you know, I'm really not worried. I don't, God, you can answer my prayers. You know how you break that habit? After you pray for something that you know that's on the Lord, there will come a time where you'll feel that in your spirit, man, where God says, now I want you to thank me for it. Amen. A lot of people say, Pastor, how many times do I ask? Oh, you ask until God tells you not to ask. Well, isn't that showing lack of faith? No, it's doing what God says. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks always receives. Well, that sounds pretty weird to me. Well, the wonderful thing about it is that God, and right there in that verse, God says, if you ask, if a child asks for something to eat, is God going to give him a stone? Break his teeth? Bread back in those days looked like little stones. Here, son, you hungry? Take a bite of that. There goes the finances down to the orthodontist. God doesn't do that, and neither would we do that. And we who are sinful parents, how much more would we, who we love our kids, how much more would God, who is not sinful, love us? So this is what you do. When it comes after, you know this is God's will, after you ask, you confirm, Lord, thank you for answering my prayer. Thank you for answering my prayer. That leaves it, instead of in a place of limbo, it brings it to the finish time. And it gives God permission to be able to move. That's why a lot of Christians never live in victory, because they're only living waiting until they get the answer to their prayer. By faith, we receive the answers to our prayer. Isn't that right? You believe it before you get it. That's called faith. Thank you for the anointing. Alan, would you come as we close? Thank you for the anointing, Lord. Thank you for the infilling of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the recognition, Lord, that you've called me to the kingdom for such a time as this. Thank you, Father, that you've foreseen all that I go through. This is some of the good things, how to pray. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy that abounds. And the Lord says, every time you ask, desiring to line yourself up with my will for your life, believe that you've already received what you've asked for. And then he says, live like you have received it. And once we understand that I know I have promises from the Lord that I've asked for, he says, good, I have not yet received it, but I'm living like I have received it. And every day, every time it comes back to me, well, what about the, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's been 10 minutes since God answered your prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you already before I receive it. Let me tell you something. That builds your faith up. And what it does, it drives the enemy back. Because if you've got an answer for his temptation, he knows that he's spinning his wheels. Amen?
Amen.
How many people heard something this morning? Turn to someone and say, he was been talking to you this whole time. Now bow with me as we close. Father, thank you. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would increase your anointing, that you will enable us, Father, to live with the expectancy that you who have begun a good work in us shall complete it. You're all, we are who you say we are. Thank you, Lord, that where your presence is, there's fullness of joy. Thank you, Lord, that you've gone before us to prepare a way. Thank you, Lord, that you allow me to use your name. Thank you, Lord, for the assurance that I have that you love me more than I can imagine. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be a part of your plan. And thank you, Lord, for using me. Now just take a moment and just talk with the Lord right now. Amen. Amen. Now look up. Yeah, you do look better than when you first came in. Amen. I want you to stand. I want you to give the Lord a praise offering. Say, amen, Lord. I receive everything that you said this morning. Go ahead. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Amen. Alan, let's go. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. He wants you to see him in all the places of this next week. He wants to see that he has his fingerprints all over it all. And let me tell you, when you look for him, when you look for him, you will find him. When you look for him, you will find him. Take your neighbor's hand. Let's agree together. Father, thank you that our heart's desire is to be seen. Lord, we want to see you. We want to reveal you. We want to allow you to be glorified in our midst. I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left. I pray that by your Holy Spirit that you would anoint them and empower them to walk in the victory that you have already declared for them this week, that your presence will be felt, God, and that the powers of the enemy be bound and broken. And Father, I release your provision today. I release your healing today. I release your presence, peace, health, and all the areas of need here. Thank you, Father, that we receive it by faith. Now let your neighbor hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, we stand before you with outstretched hands, which is a form of worship, acknowledging that you are our God and there is no other. And Lord, we receive that anointing to be the sons and the daughters of God, the priests and the kings. Thank you for that person that you brought across our path that does not know you. God, we pray for those opportunities to be able to see. Opportunities for to be able to reveal who you are. Thank you for helping us love the unlovable. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and choosing us to be your instruments. Thank you in advance for answers to prayers. Now receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord, our God, rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. And all God's anointed happy people said amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Turn around, give somebody a hand. Have an awesome week in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.